Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The Lord told the Samaritan woman that the true worship of God was not carried out according to some long-standing custom or accepted ritual. Rather, it could only be manifested as the Lord, in His grace and mercy, saw fit to seek out a people and to meet with them in power and truth. The word used for spirit is pneuma, which literally means breath or the very substance of life. It is noteworthy that this is the same word the Lord used in speaking to Nicodemus when He said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Apart from the new birth wrought in a man by the Spirit of God, no true worship can exist. When the Lord is pleased to make a new creature, there begins to beat in His bosom a heart that delights in this worship. It manifests itself in the declaration which again dropped from the pen of the Apostle Paul. "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The elect sons of God are the only true worshipers of God. All others shall continue on in their religion and learned piety, often with great devotion and dedication, but devoid of the one characteristic which defines true worship, the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost. A man cannot be born into this tradition of worship by natural birth, neither can its practices be handed down from one generation to the other, as the Jews thought. It cannot be taught in any school, regardless of the abilities of the teacher or the pupils. Neither can it be perpetuated by the institutions of religion, regardless of how orthodox they may appear, or even in reality be. The sons of God need to be reminded of this fact from time to time, lest we grow too fond of our religious practices and tests of orthodoxy. Even those who see the errors of denominationalism can sometimes become mired in trying to build institutions which will carry on certain rules of decorum and customs, as if these things could somehow define true worship. Our definitions of true worship must always come from that which is revealed in the Word of God by the Holy Ghost to every generation. Spiritual worship will be the same in every age. If the early Christians happened upon one of our meetings, regardless of where, I'm sure they would find many oddities in our practices compared to their own. Yet the essence of our worship would be no different than theirs if we are both led by the same Spirit. Some believe that a certain type of singing is spiritual, while others have a completely different notion or musical taste. Both may use the Scripture to bolster their position, equally sure of their orthodoxy. Some are convinced that the singing of only one or two songs is more spiritual than those who think more is better. Some feel the chanting of the Psalms quietly is the mark of spiritual worship, while yet others believe loud exuberance of hymns and choruses fit the bill. Some feel the worship of the Lord is carried out best when there is a prescribed program that is followed, while others believe in a more spontaneous form of meeting. The fact is that none of these things have anything to do with spiritual worship, which can be carried on in the midst of falling bombs during wartime or the quietude of the stillest night. It is not defined by the setting in which it takes place. David said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing before you, O Jehovah, my rock and my redeemer." Our practices and accepted rituals may not be the same from congregation to congregation, but the true worship of the sons of God is the same in all of them who love Jesus Christ. Spiritual worship is not concerned with rituals or the lack thereof. It is not concerned with locations, times and seasons, will worship, nor shows of piety. It is not concerned with meat and drink, nor any of the things which would be of concern to the flesh, such as comforts and convenience. Spiritual worship is concerned with magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. It confesses, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Those who are true worshipers of Christ desire to worship Him in a way that's pleasing unto Him and in accordance with the Word of God. They are open to instruction and do not esteem their way to be correct just because they prefer certain things or that they have traditionally held to certain practices. They desire the proclamation of the truth of God, regardless of how it may cause them discomfort or vex their flesh. They know that in their flesh dwelleth no good thing, and lament the weakness thereof. They cannot find any sort of pleasure in the exaltation of man, but have their chief delight in the proclamation of Jesus Christ as Lord. Do you worship Him in spirit and truth?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.